بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, what was the change that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم wrought in his society? In my view, there are three major principles that he promoted. The first of them, as I mentioned to you yesterday, these three principles, the first of them is accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from whom nothing is hidden. The second of them is truthfulness, and the third of them is spreading goodness all around. This is the religion, the essence of the religion that he brought, Islam. That is why he said, the best of you is the one who is the most beneficial to all people. The best of you is the one who is most beneficial to all people. So let us look at the first of these principles. Accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from whom nothing is hidden. Now, what makes a mistake a crime is that the criminal knows that what he is doing is illegal, immoral, and wrong. People don't commit sins, oppress others, commit violence or evil because they don't know the difference between right and wrong. They do it because they think they can get away with it. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that this belief is a fallacy, because no matter what we think, speak or do is known and seen by our Creator, to whom we will return and to whom we must give an account of what we did. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that good and evil are absolute values. They don't depend on who does them or who these are done to. He taught that human values apply equally to all humans, not only to Muslims. On the contrary, Muslims have an additional responsibility to act according to the values of their religion, because they believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in Islam. He said to his daughter Fatima, O Fatima, don't think that you will be favored by Allah, because you are the daughter of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will stand before your Creator on the basis of your own deeds. SubhanAllah, if you look at this principle, accountability to Allah from Jalla Jalaluhu, from whom nothing is hidden. You know, if you think about this, and as I mentioned to you, people do things which they know to be wrong. Just let us look at what Muslims do today. The Muslim who is drinking alcohol, does he not know it is wrong? The Muslim who is fornicating, does he not know that he is wrong? That this is a sin in Islam, it's a major sin in Islam, among the kabair. The Muslim who is gambling, who is betting money on horses or cards or whatever, does he not know that he is doing haram? That this is one of the qat'i prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited in the Quran. The Muslim who is borrowing money on interest or lending money on interest, does he not know that this is not only haram, but this is haram to the extent where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on the one who indulges in this, on his own behalf and on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Don't they know all this? The Muslim who is lying, who is telling lies, does he not know that telling lies is prohibited in Islam? The Muslim who is indulging in slander, who is indulging in ghiba, who is indulging in backbiting, does he or she not know that this is haram? In Islam, this is totally and completely prohibited. Everybody knows. The problem is that what people know and what people are willing to do are two different things. And this is the, if you ask me, this is the essence of hypocrisy. This is the meaning of hypocrisy. What else is hypocrisy? Tell me if it is not this. Hypocrisy is to know something and then still do it. That is what makes a hypocrite even worse than an ordinary wrongdoer. Because the hypocrite is doing this very consciously, knowingly, with full knowledge that what he is doing is wrong. Whereas one can have this husna zan, one can have this, best belief about somebody, to say that you know, maybe the reason why this person did this wrong thing is because they didn't really understand the ramifications of it. I mean, I know it's a bit of a stretch because most people who do things, they know exactly what they're doing. But anyhow, the point is that the hypocrite is one who's pretending he's doing wrong. So, for example, take for example somebody who is doing something wrong and he knows it is wrong and he's doing it openly, whereas somebody who is pretending to be good but behind your back he is stabbing you in the back. Behind your back he is doing something which is harmful. So that is why hypocrites are the worst. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the worst punishment on the day of judgment will be reserved for the hypocrites and the munafiqun and those who fall into that category of people who are who do wrong and who hide it and who lie. So people know what they are doing is wrong. Why don't they? But they still do it. Why? Because this question of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the missing link. As Muslims, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the day of judgment. You ask any Muslim on the street, do you believe in the day of judgment? He will say yes, because this is part of our basic creed. There is no doubt in anybody's mind about this, that there is a day of judgment. The question is, do I feel a sense of being related to that belief? Do I believe that this will apply to me? And that's why I call this the knowledge between knowing about something and knowing something. There's a difference between knowing about something and knowing something. When you know about something, you are aware of that thing. And in many cases, you might be quite knowledgeable about that. You might actually be much more knowledgeable than most other people because maybe you studied that or whatever. So you have all the knowledge of that. But knowing something, which means that you know how this will apply to you, that is a different issue. So, for example, the example I usually give, I think it illustrates this quite well, which is that if you are walking down a street, say, for example, you went to a resort, a seaside resort, which has a lot of mansions along the beach. And you're walking along on the road, which goes past all these mansions. And every mansion you see, there is a big board saying, beware of dog. So you know that these mansions have guard dogs. And you know, of course, that you know the breeds probably. And you know that guard dogs, there is a board there, meaning that this dog is dangerous. So you, as far as the knowledge part is concerned, you know that there is a dog in this house and this is dangerous. But then you come past one of these mansions and you find that the gate is partially open. And as you come to that open part of that gate, when you come before the open part of the gate, you see that there is a huge big Great Dane or a Rottweiler or something sitting inside. And as soon as he sees you, he stands up in ta'zim in respect of you and he starts coming out. I'm sure with blessed intention of shaking your hand and getting some barakah from you. But what happens to you at that stage? Now, think about this. The knowledge that you had that there is a potentially dangerous dog in this house, that knowledge hasn't changed. It is still a dog. It's not a lion. But what changed was the nature of that knowledge. That knowledge suddenly became very real. Because why did it become real? Because now you know the connection between the dog and yourself. You know that if you don't take some steps to escape or to persuade that dog to change his mind, then you are in danger of, being changed permanently in your structure or something. So the point is that this is the difference between what I call iman and yaqeen, the difference between knowing something, knowing about something and knowing something. And that is where the issue of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. The question to ask ourselves is it something which is I don't say it's hypothetical, but it's something which is which you know because you studied it, because you know the ayat concerned and so on, and more an intellectual kind of thought, or is it something that is core belief? And the difference is that in the example I gave you, the moment you see that dog at that state, what will happen? You will start doing something. You will start doing something. You will yell, scream, you will run, you will climb trees, or at least you will start reciting the kalima so that when you die, you die with the kalima on your lips. The point is that, kalima on your tongue, the point is that you will take some action. And action, therefore, to me, is the criterion. So if I want to know if I really have belief in my accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't have to go and do some major searches. I just have to look at my own life, my own actions, my own behavior, and ask myself, does my behavior reflect this belief that I believe that I will meet Allah and that Allah will hold me accountable? My own behavior, my own, what I say, what I don't say, what I do, what I don't do, is the best witness for my belief. I ask Allah to lighten our hearts with this belief, and to lighten our lives with this belief, and to lighten our actions and our speech with this belief, and to accept us in a state where we believe in accountability to Him, and we live our lives in a state where we can demonstrate this belief in our lives. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ